Hello, world, and welcome to the 383rd episode of the Quarantine Cast, recorded on October 21st, 2021. What's happening in the world, boys?
Did the Packers end up signing
Winnie Merciless? Yeah, it's official as of today.
That's official?
Mm-hmm.
God, we're just like... All these names, dudes that used to be good 2 or 3 years ago.
That's what teams do when they are going on a championship run.
And the Packers usually.
You know, that's the thing. Is that every other team that has a shot at the championship does this every single year. But the Packers have kind of refused. And my take on this is Aaron Rodgers said, I want one too. Like, sign veterans. I don't give a shit. Like, tell them, come play with Aaron Rodgers. We're going to go for a championship.
Yeah, they're all
for take
mids.
A veteran minimum. Like,
it's wild.
Yeah.
I it is a bit of an about face. It does feel like we're assembling a squad. I don't feel like many other teams are doing it this year where they're just like full blown vet minimum like dudes that are legitimate contributors.
The thing is that I don't know if we would have, like, even after Aaron Rodgers, like, obviously kind of pining for this, these kinds of moves, I don't know if we would have done it if it wasn't for all the goddamn injuries. Like,
yeah,
if Preston Smith and Za'Darius Smith aren't injured, I don't think we sign Whitney Merciless. There'd be no reason to.
I was surprised that, yeah, with Jalen Smith, I feel like we actually have a little bit of depth at inside linebacker now. Like, that one kind of surprised me until it was veteran minimum, and it's like, oh, so there's just no downside? Like, he could literally be a special teamer and that would be totally fine. Like,
And like, I know we hear this every goddamn year of like Packers almost signing or trading for a really good guy, but we did try to sign Stephon Gilmore, but before the cut was official, the Panthers came in and were like, we'll give you a 6th round pick for him.
Right.
So we didn't have the opportunity.
Yeah, exactly. And he very well could have come. That would have been wild. And we need him now.
Yeah.
We need him a lot more than we need
Whitney Merciless and Jalen Smith.
Inside linebacker, yeah. At this point, our corners are starting to get laughable. Although it does seem like it's trending towards Jair not needing surgery.
Yeah, but like, and as long as, if Jair is at full strength by the playoffs, like, I'm totally fine with that. But like, there is a good shot that it would be like, yeah, Jair won't be ready until like January, like the middle of January. Who knows? Mm-hmm. He could be ready in 3 or 4 weeks. I have no idea. Because it sounds like no matter what, he will need surgery in the offseason.
Right.
But they're saying there's a good chance that it could heal up enough to be able to play before that. But who really knows?
Baker Mayfield's apparently going to do that.
Yeah.
His off throwing shoulder is just completely fucked, and he's just gonna play the rest of the year.
You're like, it's gonna hurt a lot. After. You'll be able to throw the ball, not like as well as you should be able to, but it's gonna hurt real bad.
Yeah, I did see people that were like, "Are the Baker Mayfields and Derek Carrs of the world ever gonna win a ring again?" Because it feels like the only way you can really win a Super Bowl nowadays is to be a god, be a Patrick Mahomes, be an Aaron Rodgers, be a Tom Brady, be a rookie, be on a rookie deal, or C, have like an unbelievable historic defense that like drags you to the Super Bowl. Like, those are kind of the only ways to win a Super Bowl anymore. So like, yeah, I guess if like those kind of like franchise level but like lower franchise type guys like ever get in a like unbelievable record-setting defense, they could win a Super Bowl. But like, any other combination, and it's kind of like, I don't know if that's possible anymore.
Yeah,
the cap is just so tight, and so much of it goes to the quarterback.
Even,
like, Baker Mayfield makes almost as much as one of the actual top guys. So much of their salary cap is, you know, put towards a guy who only is returning 80% of the production of like an Aaron Rodgers.
Because the best possible combination, which doesn't happen very often, but like, you do see it once in a blue moon, is you have a top five quarterback that is still on his rookie deal, which allows you to just pay most of your salary cap to the defense.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. That's obviously the actual dream window. But, yeah, like, it's now been, like, definitely if you have a superstar QB, you're always in the hunt. You've always got a chance. So, yeah. I don't know. NFL, man, it's an interesting world.
Speaking of stuff that's interesting in the world, have you guys heard of Havana Syndrome?
Yeah. Yes, having an ice cold beer.
is that you? Oh God, what's his name? Is it Lil Peep? Not Lil Peep. No. Who's the guy that was doing all those weird beer commercials?
Lil Snoop? Pump?
No. Yeah, Snoop was in them. He's the Spanish rapper guy.
Bad Bunny?
Bad Bunny, yep.
Ah, huh?
Yeah.
Lil Peep's dead.
Is that you, Bad Bunny? Is Lil Peep dead?
Yeah, Lil Peep overdosed like 2 years ago.
Is that the guy who's in... No, Lil Pump was in the Kanye
video. Lil Pump is still alive.
Yeah, in the Kanye video with the Minecraft suits.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I feel like I've heard of this, but I don't know what it is.
Yeah, that's good, because nobody really knows what it is, my understanding.
No, we know what it is. We fucking know.
I literally am not familiar with the concept. Like, yeah,
okay,
no,
run
I'm sure we
run
don't know what it is.
Okay, so on paper, Havana Syndrome is a series of loosely overlapping symptoms, everything from ringing of the ears to fatigue to dizziness. Yeah, that U.S. CIA agents, operatives, other people in like kind of counterintelligence have experienced in various areas all over the world. There was a theory that this might be like a sonic wave attack.
Yeah, that was the official story. Was that the people
I thought
in
it was a
the
microwave?
Embassy,
that's what they're now on. Yeah,
yeah, like the people of like the U.S. embassy in Cuba, like all experienced a lot of these symptoms and like vomiting and shit at the same time, and they're like, "Oh no, we're under attack!" When they almost certainly all just had food catered in that wasn't good,
right? Like it's like, all of these symptoms,
or just mass hysteria, like symptomatic symptoms,
right? All of the yes, and also all of these symptoms are things that just kind of happen when you travel or are abroad or stressed. Like it's but anyway, we're talking about it now because a new outlet called Puck, right around there, wrote a really weird hoorah article about this and about how it should reignite Cold War tensions and we should fight the Russians over this made up thing,
even though it happened in Cuba.
Yeah,
that's funny. I mean, this was a thing like 2 years ago is when this happened, and then recently, the last couple of weeks, I've seen people talking about it all over again. Is that why? Because of this guy?
Yeah, because of the story by Julia Ioffe, written on October 20th. So, maybe not immediate. Maybe it's just popping up in public discussion again.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I do remember when this first happened. Thinking about it.
Yeah, the hearing about this potential sonic wave attack made me laugh so fucking hard.
Yeah. It reminds me of, what's it called? Like the dancing hysteria, dancing plagues that have happened throughout human history.
Yeah. Just watched a video about that a couple days ago.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It is fascinating.
Are there any prevailing theories there?
For the one that happened in the it was in the U.S., right? In like the 1600s or whatever.
No, that was definitely in like France or Germany, because it was after the Black Death.
Oh yeah, France. There you go. It was the 1500s. Never mind. They think that it was tainted water that could have been LCA, which is the precursor, or no, LSA, which is the precursor to LSD, basically. So that they were all just kind of like really high.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, avoiding feeding themselves and everything like that because they were so high.
Mm-hmm.
That's just one of them. But yeah, obviously there's so many like different psychological concepts that could play into it with, you know, all sorts of weird sympathetic stuff that humans do when you see other people.
I remember, I think this was back in high school, somebody tried to offer the explanation of for the Salem witch trials. Well, why were these young women dancing in the forest to begin with if they knew it could get them in trouble? And somebody was like, well, you know, there's one theory that like a fungus was growing on the local wheat that like ignited hallucinogens and others. And it's like, dude, they were bored teenagers. Like,
it's not just the dancing. It was also like overall explanation as to why all these girls would accuse people of being a witch for no reason whatsoever. And like the apparitions and everything like that. Yeah, it almost certainly is financial, like when you actually look into who was like, being accused of being a witch.
And they were trying to get themselves out of something. They dug themselves in really deep, far that if they ever were like, okay, guys, hold on, we were lying, it would just and make things so much worse for their own.
And social conditioning, absolutely.
Eventually someone started directing them.
Someone said, hey.
Like, oh, wait, but this guy's also...
This guy won't sell me the bar. Like, just can you fucking kill him?
No, not that. Just like, he seems kind of witchy. Don't you think he's witchy? And like, yeah, they're little girls. They're already deep into the lie. They think, well, might as well like keep calling all these other people witches too, because it makes it seem like the original people are also witches. So yeah, and also racism. Like Tituba
is
100% just a tragic story of classic racism. So they were just kids dancing in the fucking woods in a Puritan society.
Yeah,
like that's how it started.
One of the most heinous crimes you can commit
for Puritans. Maybe. Especially because some of them were 13, which is like marrying age.
Why aren't you dancing? No, you can't dance.
You still can't dance.
Yeah, never mind.
Made a movie.
You should
about
be having
all of
children.
Yeah.
Dirty Dancing.
What if Dirty Dancing ended with Kevin Bacon being crushed by a stone and going more weight?
Kevin Bacon just being a total badass.
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought you were going to talk about the...
Wait, Footloose. We're talking about Footloose, not
Footloose,
Dirty Dancing.
Damn it.
Yeah, Dirty Dancing would actually be the type of dancing that conservatives in just normal world would probably object to. You know, Footloose was the just any type of dancing. But that's what I always think of when I hear the take that like America was founded on Christian Moors. It's like, oh yeah, let's go back to some of those founding Moors like that the Puritans were going through, man. I'm sure you'd love that. You totally would be down for like this, and then in the same breath, like criticizing, you know, like Islam and being like it's way too restrictive and everything like that, and it goes against Western values. I've got a restrictive religion for you. The knowledge that if you made the slightest misstep, that you were going straight to fucking hell and burning forever. And there was no recompense at all. There's nothing you could do to get forgiveness. Yeah. That'll put something on a society.
And the only thing that will save you is killing a non-believer. Am I reading this right? I was supposed to kill the non-believer. Okay, point these non-believers out to me. I gotta find them myself?
No.
Witches, you say?
Witches.
It is interesting. Tell me if I'm wrong, but like the predominant first religion in the United States was Protestants from England, right? Extremists, but Europe. Still like
The reason that they went is to escape religious persecution, but the reason that they were facing religious persecution
because they were
place,
fucking
they're
extremists.
All just nut jobs, like the OGs, like the actual OGs, deep OGs.
Which is how you end up with, a community devouring itself based on thinking people are witches.
Mm-hmm.
How you end up where we are now?
Yeah.
Like, with our political discourse being just a remarkably stunted left wing, like that just still... that's literally like the staunchest liberals in the United States would be slightly left of center in most of the world.
Maybe.
I mean, yeah, still even then they might just be more centrist.
I understand that Congress is just a performance for constituents a lot of the time, but we have Congress people still out there today saying God does not want this bill to pass, and like that's acceptable discourse.
Because it gets people to vote for you. Like,
yeah.
And remember, Lucas, you can't outlaw anyone's speech unless they're saying you should treat black people equally. Then it's critical race theory and you will lose your job.
Yeah. Must outlaw that. It's very important.
God, I love how just even the name of critical race theory denotes like, hey, let's think about these issues critically for a second. Can't do it. Nope. Yeah. Not allowed.
My sister's a fifth grade teacher in Wisconsin and she's caught up in the middle of that right now.
Fun.
Like it's really, really fucking
bad. It's like
bad.
The front lines. Yeah. Fifth grade is when you learn about Wisconsin history, right?
Yep. Mm-hmm. And they're not allowed to talk about the Native Americans.
I was going to say, there's a lot of shit
in
Wisconsin's history.
She said the administration has literally ripped like pages out of her textbooks and like she'll open them up and find lines blacked out in Sharpie. Because they talk about, like, the Trail of Tears and shit.
Yeah.
And they're not allowed to talk about the Trail of Tears. They're not allowed to talk about
the extent.
All that shit.
Yeah. Now let's get into, like, the actual modern stuff, like Milwaukee race riots and everything like that. Like, the most segregated city in the United States. Like, yeah, obviously, the obvious, like, genocide stuff. Mm-hmm. That's abhorrent. But, like, we also got stuff that's, like, people still living in Wisconsin to this day could just... tell you about it.
Mm-hmm.
Let's not talk about that either.
I mean, Wisconsin, like, not only is Milwaukee the most segregated city in America, but Wisconsin has the highest African-American incarceration rate in the country by like double. 1 in 30, I saw this like 2 days ago, 1 in 36 black citizens in Wisconsin are in prison.
Yeah.
And it is more than double the national average.
Yep. Now I remember, so I was like thinking about history as like a major at some point in college because I do really love history.
Right.
Not in college, in high school. I remember taking A Push and being like, ooh, this is cool. We get to learn about the shit. We get to learn about the, you know, still watered down, but like the shit that like the US actually pulled, like. Not definitely not getting deep into it, but like, oh yeah, and then we had this policy, like the Alien and Sedition Acts, which are just objectively against the Constitution. Like, just John Adams was like, what if we just like made some of these rights not a thing anymore? Like, we actually, you know, got into the shit a little bit. And then I remember going off to college. And one of my friends who was also into history was going to school in Oklahoma. And in Oklahoma, they had just said, like, yeah, in AP US history in particular, you cannot teach anything that is negative about the United States. Like, anything that paints the United States in a bad light is removed from the AP US history, like, course book. And, like, how the federal government was dealing with that. Because the AP is, yeah, like, a national program. So, like, testing had to be altered for Oklahoma because you couldn't just... test kids on stuff that they literally were legally not allowed to learn and shit. Like, it was fucking wild. So, and yeah, AP US history was like nothing compared to my first day of class in like history 107, American history since the Civil War, where it's just like, all right, Reconstruction. Y'all ready to get fucked? Like, y'all ready to literally learn the actual shit? So.
Let's go!
Yeah. So.
Also, Andrew, I did a little bit more digging, and I think the reason Havana Syndrome is back in discourse is because Joe Biden recently signed a bill into law helping American victims affected by neurological attacks, parentheses, Havana Act, which... on paper, it closes a loophole.
Yeah, it really closed a loophole. But yeah, the publicity of calling it the Havana Act is obviously.
Drafted by...
I mean, there was not a single person who voted no. Like, right, it was literally just a weird oversight that no one would possibly be against. Like, oh, yeah, American government workers don't get, like, coverage on this specific issue that absolutely American government workers could face. Like, that makes no sense. So,
yeah.
Interesting.
There you go, man. What a fucking world.
Mad world.
Mother of me, are familiar faces. That song's so recent, and
is it really? It
throws me every time. It's like from the 2000s. I thought that was like a song from the 70s or some shit.
Really?
2001. Yeah. You know what? No. That song sounds pretty 2001.
Is it?
Does it? Yeah. I don't know. For me, it screamed like 70s, like Sound of Silence, basically. Like,
I would not compare it to Sound of Silence.
I mean, Michael Andrews is definitely going for a Simon and Garfunkel vibe, at least.
He was going for, like, you know, early 2000s emo. Like, it was like the birth of the emo era, I'm pretty sure.
I saw a TikTok the other day that was like, here are the 10 different layers of emo. And, like...
Was it like a nine hierarchy?
Yes. Oh, yeah. Okay. Like basic emo, all the way down to like pure emo. Three bands contributed to 9 of the songs, and it was All American Rejects, My Chemical Romance, and I want to say Blink 182, which.
Oh, shit. Really?
What's the emo trio again that Jade introduced to me? My Chemical Romance is definitely.
Yeah, I was gonna say MCR,
Panic at the Disco,
and Fall Out Boy. Pretty sure.
Yeah,
Fall Out Boy's in the emo trio. Wow, I liked emo music then.
Yeah,
I liked All American Rejects. I like Fall Out Boy.
I definitely liked All American Rejects. But yeah, like my favorite song was "Thanks for the Memories" for like a long time.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, Jade.
That was like my jam.
Jay just told me a couple days ago why All American Rejects kind of fell off the face of the earth. Like, it wasn't that they stopped making music. They had made a new album, and then the record label that they signed with closed.
No.
They, like, just went out of business and refused to sell refused to, like, surrender the rights of the music to the people that were signed to them. So they had a label that was ready to be released, or they had a record that was ready to be released in like weeks, and then the label closed and maintained the rights to release the record, but couldn't release it because they were out of business. So they had worked for months making this record and then didn't get any money from it. And they're like, okay, well, we kind of just have to go do something else now. And like, I guess they're making a new album. Like, they got back together. They had kind of dissolved because they're like, we need to get day jobs now. We're out of money. And then they recently got back together and are putting out a new album.
What was their last big? Was in like high school? They had a big one, right?
Yeah.
Fuck. What was that song?
Let's see. Discography.
My immediate All American Reject
Gives You
song.
Hell. Was,
yes,
was
absolutely.
Free high school. That's not what I was thinking. I thought they had a song.
Okay, so Kids in the Street was their last album track listing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know any of these songs. Heartbeat Slowing Down.
Maybe I was thinking of Fall Out Boy. Because I know Fall Out Boy definitely had like a bit of a resurgence. Like high school, college age.
I think that might have just been the crowd you were rolling with, at least in college.
No, Fall Out Boy had like a major radio hit.
Okay.
Like later.
Yeah.
Centuries. There you go.
Yeah,
Centuries was like huge, that blew out of nowhere. My songs Know What You Did in the Dark, like late high school, early college, Fall Out Boy had like actual major hits again out of nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if they're still a thing.
I mean, at this point, I think they have enough mass that they're just always going to permeate in the background of culture, at least.
Yeah, that's fair. Oh, yeah, they were going to tour, but then due to COVID, they rescheduled it.
Mm.
But, yeah, they went on tour with Green Day and Weezer.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, the Super Mega Tour or whatever it was called.
Right.
There you go.
I think
that's a fun pairing. Just like, what if? What if? Fuck it. You know it's going to sell out. Like, who cares? I'd go see that show.
Yeah.
Right.
People love to shit on Weezer right now. I guess they're like Gen Z's least favorite band.
Really?
Yeah. No, like it's like a thing in the kiddo discourse of like how much Weezer sucks.
I mean, you know, a lot of normies really into Weezer, man.
Yeah. And that's it. That is kind of it. Like,
yeah,
they conflate Weezer with like Harry Potter because they're like heavily loved by millennials. I like Weezer. Like,
yeah,
yeah, Weezer's
I
good.
Like Weezer fine.
Like,
yeah.
I listened
Weezer's
to
got good
Weezer
songs
a lot when I was a kid.
Even the newer
Weezer's
stuff
got some bops.
Like,
yeah, that's fine.
That fucking cover was
no
was
the,
Af-
the Toto's Africa
yeah,
cover.
That
was
yeah,
weird.
Africa
yeah,
cover
yeah.
Like everyone being like, this is like the greatest thing ever.
Why?
It's like, it's
this is unnecessary.
Like, yeah, it's a good... If Africa by Toto didn't exist...
It would have been
yeah,
a decent song.
I'd be
song.
Like, shit, this is a pretty good song. Yeah. Not bad, Weezer. But, like, the original version's better. So, like, yeah, why... why are people celebrating this? I don't know. The only time that a cover is remarkable is when someone beats it. Like, Johnny Cash covering Hurt or some shit like that. Where everyone's just kind of like, oh, wait. No, this was, like, what it was supposed to be. Like... this is better. Not that the original's bad, but like they did it better.
Mm-hmm.
Is
Weezer dad rock now?
It's not even really rock.
Hmm.
I mean, like it like legally is rock, but
uh-oh,
what?
High Hopes is by Panic at the Disco.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you not think so?
My mind's fucking. I never. That was like. In the gap where I wasn't like really listening to the radio at all. So like, yeah, I knew High Hopes, but I didn't know who sang it or anything. I just knew it was that song that had the cringy Pete Buttigieg dance to.
I mean, here's
that
the thing.
Got replayed on every commercial ever.
Panic
That's
at the
fucking
Disco.
Panic at the Disco.
Panic at the Disco is just Brendan Urie now. Like he's the only member of the band that's still there.
Okay.
And it's not even like
the front man. You mean the most important?
No, no, I know, but I'm not like it's not even like oh, other people have been swapped out. It's Brendan Urie and like a traveling interchangeable band.
It's like The Weeknd. Like,
yeah,
it's a name for a performer at this point.
Yeah,
yeah, that's fucking wild for me.
Yeah,
I write sins, not tragedies. Being
it's
the
a,
same band,
no,
the same
that,
performer.
No, yeah,
there, I know,
there's
been
a trajectory.
My point
very clear. Like what
I know the same performer who then did the most like, yeah, just commercial sellout-y. Like,
yeah, like the rest of the influence from the band was gone, and it was just him making, yeah,
Maroon
shitty
5 music.
Exactly. Well,
holy shit.
Even Maroon 5, like. The first two albums that Maroon 5 put out were actually pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
And Maroon 5 has since become, like, the hallmark for pop music. It's just, eh.
No, Ryan, you actually might like Panic at the Disco's newer stuff. Don't Threaten Me with a Good Time.
I don't listen to, albums. I listen to, like, hits.
No, that is a song.
I'm a piece
that
of shit.
Yeah.
I know, but, like... I don't know.
Nine.
It's a big hit.
I think so. To me, at least 9 in the afternoon. Also, yeah, it's fun. It's a good running song. I run to that song. Has anyone made a joke about the bands The Weeknd and Vampire Weeknd being enemies? There's something there.
Once again, The Weeknd is not a band.
Yeah, the Weeknd is a person.
Is a man.
It was never a band. It's not like
okay.
They were a group
it
and
is,
he's the
yeah,
only one
I,
left. It's just
it was
one
a
guy.
False comparison a little bit. It was literally always a name for a single performer, a solo act. But, yeah. No, I mean, in theory.
There's something there. All the pieces
also,
are there.
The Weeknd dropping a vowel like Fallout Boy and Thanks for the Memories. Thanks for the murmurs.
Listen, dude.
I had a good music video, too. You guys remember that?
I don't think I've seen the music video for Thanks for the Memories.
Yeah, you should check it out. Same with I Don't Care. That was my second favorite song by Fall Out Boy, where there was like a rock... there was a rock and roll band who was like shitting on Fall Out Boy for like drinking energy drinks instead of like smoking crack and like, you know, just like being soft, you know, or whatever.
Yeah.
So then the whole music video is them just like running around being fucking hooligans and like being pieces of shit because that's what rock stars do or whatever. And then I forgot what the twist was because I was too young to get it. But at this point, I bet you I would. Oh, shit, I hit my mic. I want to see the twist at the end where like the rocker, oh god, no, I Don't Care has been, there's an Ed Sheeran Justin Bieber video.
No! Ah!
I Don't Care is now the fourth most popular I Don't Care video on YouTube. Oh god. Let's see.
Fall
Let's
Out
find
Boy,
out.
I Don't Care. Found it.
He pulls off a mask. Oh, is it Sarah Palin?
What?
Or a Sarah Palin impersonator at the end? Is that the bit?
What?
I think it, unless it's someone that I don't recognize.
What?
It does look like Sarah Palin.
Right? It might just be someone I don't recognize. But yeah, I think the rocks, the old style rock star who's pulling off their mask is meant to be Sarah Palin. Or like a Sarah Palin lookalike. Maybe.
I think it would be the right time. This song came out in 2009.
She would have been relevant. The video came out in 2009. The album came out in 2008. So like she would have been super relevant then.
How does Sarah Palin fit into like the political culture, political lexicon after Donald Trump? It's weird.
I don't know.
Yeah, because she used to be like, this is political incompetence. No.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's Sarah Palin.
Okay.
that's the whole joke. At the end, it was Sarah Palin who was shitting on them for not being real rock stars, quote unquote.
I really wish we titled these episodes because it's Sarah Palin. That's the joke. It would be pretty good.
What a just completely random thing that, yeah, aged. Not poorly or well, just randomly. Like,
yeah.
It's just like, I think that's Sarah Palin. I remember Sarah Palin. I remember Tina Fey as Sarah Palin. And then I remember, like, a couple of sound bites. Yeah. It'd be like if fucking Tim Kaine was, like, at the bit at the end of the video. It'd be like, wait, what? Tim Kaine? I think that's Tim Kaine? I don't know much about Tim Kaine. He was just a guy.
I think
that was the point.
Wow, this video with 60 million views roasts Jeb Bush out of nowhere?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, they just start talking about how Jeb Bush is a mess. Look at him, he's a mess. And then Marco Rubio struggles to drink out of a water bottle. Like, this is... It didn't age badly, it just aged weirdly. Like, what's... what?
Why do the words please clap keep flashing on screen? Is that... Oh, wait, no, I... Yeah, that
was a Jeb Bush
thing.
Yeah. That's right. Everyone in 2028 just... Oh, yeah. That was a thing. Oh. Weird.
All right, we gotta cut it here. Thank you all so much for listening to episode 383 of the Quarantine Cast. If you like what you heard, like, comment, subscribe, etc. Check us out on Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok for highlight clips. Act Blue link in the description if you want to help some great progressive causes. Support us on Patreon or through the Anchor Podcast platform if you're so inclined. Send us your questions, business opportunities, volunteerviewing at gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter at V2_podcast for updates, and follow me at LucasDeWriter on Twitter to keep up with all of my writing. Weekend's coming up, everyone. Good luck getting to it.